So as I was prepping for this sermon, Leanne happened in my office, and we started talking about prayer. We're going to talk about prayer today. And, you know, I thought I could stand up here and tell you all I know about prayer. And then I thought, Tyson, you're really not such a great prayer anyway. So we'll have some other people come and help and share sort of their views on prayer as well. So
yeah. We just started swapping stories about prayer back and forth, and so we thought it was the Holy Spirit speaking to us to maybe do this together this morning. Don't say you're not a great prayer. We need to teach them that everybody can pray.
Oh, everybody can pray. Just some are better at it than others. I mean, I've run into folks who are like prayer warriors. Yeah. And you know it when they've prayed for you. And so, I mean, I pray faithfully. In fact, I have this prayer that I say every morning. And it goes something like this. So far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been mean or grumpy. I haven't snapped at anybody. I haven't eaten too much. I'm really happy about that. But God, I'm about to get out of bed right now, and I'm really, really going to need your help.
So, yeah, we're talking about James today. We're finishing our series in the book of James. This is the last one. We're in chapter 5, and he really ends the book and this fifth chapter by talking about prayer and how important it is that prayer become a part of our daily life. It is one of our main ways that we connect to God, and he encourages us to pray all the time, and to pray not only for ourselves and to God, but for and with one another.
Yeah, that's an important part of prayer, is it not always being about you, but about you praying for others. In fact, I really find that's where my prayer life really takes off, is when I'm not praying a list of things I want God to take care of for me, but where I'm praying for other people. I think that that's important. So,
when we talk to the kids about prayer, one of the things we often teach them is to remember the word joy when you pray. Jesus, others, yourself. And that's a good way for them to sort of start to learn about what it means to pray.
I like that. So our text today comes from James, chapter 5, 13 through 18. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are they cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. I love that. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. I like the statement of that, right? So, and it's sort of interesting that you exegete this text, and you see the scholars are talking about, if you remember the story of Elijah, and he really didn't pray necessarily. He just was a prophet of the Lord and went and said, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. The scholars will go into some of the Hebrew words and say that he actually was praying when he was saying that. But it's just sort of an interesting take on that. And if you remember that part from the Elijah cycle, you don't remember him praying. He just said it and it was. But I thought that was interesting. So so what's your understanding on prayer?
Well, I mean, I think prayer, it does help to deepen our connection, strengthen our connection with God. But it's also one of the ways we participate as the body of Christ, by praying for and with each other. And, you know, it's interesting that you say it didn't sound like he was praying, but, you know, he was. because there's so many different kinds and types of prayer. Now, we always think of sort of the traditional way of praying, but sometimes just crying out or speaking something or just sitting in silence or breathing and sort of meditating on a particular word. There's so many different styles and ways to pray that there's no way to do it wrong, right? So one of the prayers that I pray every day, it's actually was in this room of us, I think it was 2014 or 2015. It was during Holy Week. And instead of having sort of traditional Holy Week services, we had prayer stations and different things, different activities set up here in this room. And one of the activities was just a table of books and prayer books and sticky notes where people could write prayers and then stick them on the walls. And the idea was that if you saw a prayer on the wall that you liked, you could take it and then you could write one of your own and stick it up on the wall. And so that day I took this prayer off.
You stole it?
No, you were supposed to take them.
Oh, you were supposed to. Okay.
I just said that.
Well, just checking.
So I took this prayer off the wall and I need to put it in a frame or something, but I just keep it by my desk, and I pray this prayer every day. God, like Hannah's son Samuel, let my children grow up in your presence and seek out your ways and attend your work. Thank you, God, for my children. It's just such a simple prayer, and I have no idea who wrote it. I mean, somebody here in this congregation wrote it, I'm so thankful for it because it helps me remember kind of my focus every day. And so, you know, we can pray for those specific sort of things. Actually after the flood or the pipe burst, when this space flooded and we were having so many problems with it,
mm-hmm.
Actually we had kind of gotten to the point where we were over it, right? Do you remember? And I came in here with some oil and I like prayed over every door and walked around all the chairs and prayed over all the chairs and just asked God to put a hedge of protection around this place and around our people, that we would be able to sort of get over that little bump in the road.
And you did our sound equipment too, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We probably should do that every week. So.
Well, for me, prayer is a way for me to spend time with God. And I pray frequently. I even pray in the car, but don't close your eyes.
Right.
So I had a friend of mine that was so happy to see the advent of car phones, because she had this habit of praying in her car out loud, and people would pull up at stoplights and thought she was crazy. But once car phones came about, everybody figured she was just talking on the phone.
Yeah.
But I pray, I pray at night a lot. And I pray a lot when I'm like going to sleep. Oftentimes I will, yes, fall asleep while I'm praying.
Yep.
And let me just remind you all, that's okay. It's not like you've got a phone line that's open and you have to say amen to hang it up. So it's okay to fall asleep while you're praying. In fact, I mean, it oftentimes kind of feels to me, especially if it's been a rough time, rough day, it's akin to like climbing up in my daddy's lap and falling asleep in his lap when I fall asleep in prayer. And so that is a really comforting thing for me. But, you know, a lot of times we treat God like the milkman or something. It's like we give him a list. Dear God, I'm getting ready to go to sleep, so would you take care of these things for me while I'm sleeping? And that's okay. I mean, it's great to pray that way. It's great to talk to God like that. But I have found, at least in my life, that I have to create some awake time, but where I'm silent. Because God oftentimes responds back. I don't hear audible voices, but I have feelings and things in my heart that are, I think, the Holy Spirit talking to me in response to my prayers. And so if you don't make some time in your prayers where you're quiet and where you can hear from God, let me encourage you to do this, because it really can be life-changing. It really change your prayer experience. And so our text talks about praying for the sick. And it says, get the elders of your church, which is, it's actually like clergy people is the thinking, but everybody can pray for healing. It does, you don't need special elders. And I can tell you, this elder ain't got no special hookup with God on these kinds of things. So, but it talks about prayers for healing. And I think it's important that we ask for those. And I mean, we were sharing about, have we had any specific experiences where there was a healing? And, you know, I think about my dad. My dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer 15 years ago. Actually, 18 years ago. And they just caught it really early. His gallbladder actually was giving him problems. But, I mean, he's pretty much a walking miracle at this point. And but it's important that we know that healing doesn't necessarily always have to be miraculous. The healing can come from the hands of doctors or surgeons or other places. I mean, yes, there can be miraculous healings as well. But sometimes it comes through the hands of skilled professionals. And so we need to remember that not all the healing that we're looking for happens in a miraculous way. It can happen in pretty ordinary ways as well. So in verse 15, it talks about a prayer of faith that God will lift them up. And sometimes the healing comes when we make it to the church triumphant. That's the ultimate healing, right? And that happens. And so I think we ultimately are all healed and made whole and perfect as we walk into the presence of God. And so that's sort of the ultimate healing. That always happens. But it's important that we hang on to that too, because we don't live as a people without hope. We live as a people with hope that we're going to be resurrected, that we're going to be in the presence of God someday. So there's prayers of healing, and there's all kinds of other prayers.
Whenever I think about healing prayers, I think of the woman in the Gospels who just wanted to touch the hem of Jesus's garment. And she had such amazing faith that she didn't feel like she needed to talk to him. She didn't feel like she needed him to lay his hands on her, to touch her or anything. She just needed to just get that. She felt like if she could just touch that scrap of his garment, she would be healed, because she had such amazing faith in him. And I would love to have that kind of faith.
Well, I think about the centurion, not the ones at the tomb, but the one that asked Jesus to heal his child. And Jesus is like, okay, I'll come to your house. And he's like, you don't need to do that. Just say the word and it will happen. I mean, I want to have that kind of faith too, right?
I think both those stories teach us that it's important that when we pray, we should expect that in some form or fashion or way that those prayers will be answered, that we have that trust that God is on our side and working for us. Your song was beautiful, and that idea that there's another one in the fire, that God is always with us and working for us, that we should expect that we should have that faith.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I find myself a lot of times wanting an answer to my prayer. Like, pronto, God, come on.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we have to wait to get those answers. I mean, sometimes God says no. No, good try, Tyson. No.
Yeah. A lot of times God says not right now.
Yep. Yep. But I think all prayers are heard. I think they're all answered in some way. Sometimes we miss it because we're not paying attention, or it maybe comes in an unexpected way or from an unexpected person, like maybe your four-year-old or something. I mean, you can miss these things. But, you know, I've had some experience with answered prayers. I was with a group of pastors, and somebody was praying, and they were like, we were all holding hands, and I mean, they were, God, we want to hear from you. God, we want to hear from you now. Please be with us. We want to hear from you. And the cell phone, her cell phone rang. We all were like, you better answer that. And then right after Harvey, I called the assistant to the bishop. At that point in time, I was doing VCI. So I was working with churches, trying to help them grow and become healthy. And I called the assistant to the bishop right after Harvey. I said, listen, nobody wants to talk to me. I mean, everybody's trying to recover from this or help people recover from this. Nobody has even time for me. What can I do to help? And so they sent me to the Mission Depot that we have in Conroe. And Scott was the guy that was running it, and it had like just opened like a week or two before Harvey came. And so I got there, and they had racks. It's a warehouse, basically. They had all these racks, and they were not set up effectively. And we were buying a forklift and renting a forklift to receive all of these goods that were coming in from UMCOR and other churches and other places. And the warehouse was not set up properly. And so we went to lunch and we talked and we both spent some time away. And while I was in my little cubicle that they gave me, I was praying, hey, God, we really could use some help here. We don't really know what we're doing with this whole warehouse. And that afternoon, a man shows up from another United Methodist church and says, I've been in logistics for 35 years. Do y'all need some help? I was like, oh, yes, sir, we do. And I mean, the next day he had a crew out there that was able to put these racks into proper places that we could use these forklifts effectively. And he drove a forklift for a couple of days with me. I drove a forklift for about a month and a half in Conroe. And, you know, I've forgotten his name. And for all I know, he was the angel Gabriel with a pickup truck and a cell phone. But, I mean, that really was, I mean, and immediately answered prayer too. And so it's fun when you think about those things and you can connect them, right? Those answered prayers.
It is really cool when that happens. Recently, I had gone to visit someone and we were praying. And one of the things we specifically prayed for was for healing in a relationship that she had with a family member. And we were all praying together, and right as we started to wrap up and say amen, the phone rang, and it was the person that we had hoped there could be healing with, and she was able to talk to her and experience some restoration in that relationship. And so that was just an amazing blessing when you're able to kind of see that happen. Not long ago, also, when we took the kids to Navasota for the confirmation retreat, we had gone inside a Walmart, and well, first of all, it didn't even dawn on us it wasn't a super Walmart, because we went in for food and we were like, where's all the food? But we were like, oh, this is what Walmart used to look like. So, but we went through two different lines, and so the line that I was in was finished very quickly and went outside, and the line that Becca was in, she came out like 10 minutes later, and I was like, what was the holdup? And she said, well, the man in front had all these medical supplies, and he had one of the, you know, flexible spending cards, the pre-tax cards, and he was trying to use that to buy what he needed because he had just had surgery and it didn't work and not everything was covered. And I said, well, is he still there? And she said, yeah, he's still there. So I went in and I saw this man they were like counting out the stuff and trying to figure out what he could get and what he couldn't. And I just said, my friend told me what happened and I just want to pay for your stuff. And he was like, nope, can't let you do that. That's not right. I'm not going to let you do that. And I was like, no, really, like, I'm a pastor. It's like my job. I have to pay for your stuff. God told me to, so now you have to let me. So I paid for his stuff, and he, as she was checking it all out and everything, he shook my hand and he said, I just can't tell you. He said, I was standing here going through this stuff, praying for God to figure out a way for me to get this stuff home, and I can't tell you how much I need it. And so it's cool when you're able to be an answer to somebody's prayers.
Yeah, that's really is a cool feeling. Yeah. So, well,
it's 9:53.
It's
9:53 already?
Yeah, it was a nice chat. Yeah. So.
Well, I think it's time for you to pray then.
So, yeah, just let me encourage you to pray. And maybe try some different kinds of prayers. I mean, you can Google all different kinds of prayers. There's breath prayers. There's this one that sounds fancy, but it's not. It's Lectio Divina. It's where you just read scripture and you contemplate it. But try something new in your prayer life. But know that God is there. God is listening. And God will respond. Sometimes you got to open your eyes. And it's fun to kind of go back and look at your prayers and the ones that got answered. So I encourage you to do all of that. So let's pray. Gracious God, what a gift prayer is. And Father, it's one that we underutilize. So Father, help us to become a more praying church. Help us to become a more praying people. That we are always reaching out to you, that we are always hearing from you, that we are always about your glory. Father, we thank you for this amazing gift that we can pray directly to you. As we go from this place, let our prayers be heard. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.